Amen. Well, take your Bibles, open the book of Matthew tonight, the book of Matthew. And I don't know if you call it delayed or kidnapped or I'm not sure what happened tonight, but one of the classes had me come in this evening as they were getting started. And they quoted a verse for me. And then they had made like little ties and stuff that they all put on. And then they sang a song. They sang the New Testament books of the Bible, sang all through the New Testament books of the Bible. And then they gave me an offering that they had taken up to give to one of the missionaries. And so I almost didn't want to come back in here. I was ready to stay in there. You know, that was a great time. I was enjoying that over there. And I think they're getting ready to color next, so I was ready to stay, you know. I was ready, you know, let's color. So that's great. I appreciate all of our teachers and just all the things that they do to help and these young people to learn the Word of God. And one of the young boys, after he was getting ready to leave, was like, God wants me to be a missionary. I was like, well, praise the Lord. That's great, you know. And we'll see. In fact, he's actually been saying that for 6 months, 8 months, he's been saying that. And every time, God wants me to be a missionary. So who knows? Maybe the Lord will let him be a missionary someday. That'd be awesome. Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing our study through the book of Matthew and on the King and Kingdom, going through the Sermon on the Mount and looking at now chapter 6 and dealing with what we're calling true worship. And we talked about worship in giving and how we are to give. He talks about that in the first four verses. And then verses 5 through 15 talks about prayer. And we spent a couple weeks going through talking about prayer and even looking at this model prayer. Again, this is not, I know many people refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's an example of prayer. Again, if you want to read the Lord's Prayer, you need to go to John chapter 17. You can read that. That's the Lord's Prayer. But this is an example. He says, after this manner, pray ye. So it's an example. And again, of course, it's not, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe the Lord even prayed this prayer. I don't believe he prayed the prayer because look what he says. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Does Jesus have any debts? Does Jesus have any sin? This wasn't his prayer, right? This wasn't his prayer that he prayed. He's giving us an example, a model of what we can pray and how we are to pray. And so we looked at this topic of prayer. And so now we're moving down into verse number 16. In verse number 16 through 18, he says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, this is just a couple of verses here and dealing with the topic of fasting. Again, we're talking about this true worship that God desires, one in our giving, in our praying, but also even in fasting he talks about here. And just three verses, but I don't know that we're going to get through the whole thing tonight because I really believe fasting is a topic that a lot of Christians just don't know a lot about. We're not really familiar with this topic. We hear about it, you know, but we're not really sure what it is. We're not really sure how we're supposed to do it. We're not really sure who's supposed to do it, right? So we're going to take a little bit and go through this on fasting here. And let me just say, first of all, there is no command that a believer must fast, right? Or even how often one should fast. But what Jesus does say, and especially in verse number 17, he says, when thou fastest, okay? So Jesus says, when you fast. And he's not specifically giving a command that you have to, but he says, when you do, this is what you should do in this aspect of fasting. And no doubt, there ought to be times in our life when we do fast. And may I say, not just to lose weight, right? That's kind of what most people think about fasting. Oh, fasting to lose weight, right? That's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing to fast to lose weight, but that's not really what Jesus is talking about here, okay? He's not talking about the first weight loss program in the Bible, okay? This is fasting for a purpose, okay? The reasons why many Christians don't fast, I would say just a couple of reasons. Number one, it affects our comfort. So we don't want to fast, right? We have to get out of our comfort zone to be able to do it. It affects our appetite. We live in a society where we want everything and we want it now, right? And we don't want to wait. Okay. So fasting, to have to tell our appetite no, to have to not eat sometimes or something, that's really hard for a lot of Americans and things. It's our pride. We just don't want to. We just don't think we need to. I don't need to fast. It's not for me. It's for somebody else, right? But I would say more than anything, the reason why most Christians do not fast is because we're not taught a biblical perspective on fasting. We're just not taught what it is. We're not taught why we are to do it, why we should do it. There have been times in my life where I have fasted. I wouldn't say that I've fasted every year, but there are certain seasons in my life where I can go back and I can say there was a time period where I fasted and prayed about something. And so we're gonna look at these things as we go through this topic on fasting, okay? And so notice the first thing we have here, there is the warnings on fasting. There's a warning on fasting. Notice in verse number 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So notice the first thing we find here, fasting is not for show, right? It's not for show. It's very obvious they were using, especially many of the religious leaders, were using fasting as a performance, just as they were giving, right? How would they give? They would call everybody around so everybody could see what they were giving, right? Same thing with prayer. They were using prayer as a performance, right? They were going to the synagogue. They were going to the street corners, lifting up their voices, saying these long, elaborate prayers. It was all a performance, right? What does he say about fasting? They were doing the same thing with fasting. It's a performance. That's what it was to them. It was nothing but a performance, okay? They would disfigure their faces, right? Not physically harming their faces when he talks about disfiguring them. But as he says, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. In other words, they're not looking normal, right? They want people to know that they're fasting, right? So, you know, making themselves look really gaunt, you know? Oh, it's just been, oh. How you doing, brother? Oh, I've been fasting. How's it going? Oh, you know, I haven't eaten in days. Great. What do you say to that? the whole purpose of them doing it was they were making it so that everybody knew they were fasting, right? They were just making it appear. They were putting on of a sad countenance, you know? There's no, oh, it's so miserable to have to fast, right? Again, it's miserable to fast if you're fasting for the wrong reason. They were fasting for the wrong reason, right? They were fasting simply to be seen of men. They were fasting for a performance to get recognition, right? They were fasting. They were making themselves of a sad countenance, disfiguring their faces. They were trying to look miserable on purpose so that people would notice, so that people would ask, hey, what's going on? Oh, you don't look too good today. I'm fasting. Oh. That's not the purpose of fasting, right? Notice it says that they may appear unto men to fast, right? So not only was it a performance to them, but they were trying to advertise their spirituality. They're trying to say, hey, look how spiritual I am. Well, no. Hey, look how spiritual I am. Sad countenance, right? They weren't joyful about it. It was a sad countenance. They were disfiguring their faces that they may appear to fast, that they may appear to do these things, right? If you hold your place here, look over with me in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, a great example of this. Luke chapter number 18, this parable that Jesus gives. In verse number 10, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I find that phrase very interesting. With himself. Is he really talking to God, or is he just doing it for himself? Thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican that's sitting over here that really shouldn't even be here because he's such a wicked sinner, this publican. For I, right, what does he say? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What was the purpose of his fasting? Was it really to get closer to God? Was there a specific purpose for it? Yeah, pride. Look at me, God. I mean, I fast twice a week. Not just once, twice. That's how many times I fast, twice. Why is he saying this? Again, think about what Jesus is saying. He says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus said it wasn't the man that was so proudful in all the things that he did that was justified. He said it was the publican who was humble that was justified. And that's why he says back in Matthew chapter 6, he says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That was their reward. And can I say it's possible to do something spiritual for selfish reasons, for recognition, for reputation, and it doesn't please God at all in the least. And we're going to see that a little bit later on as we get into this as well, right? So fasting, God says, Jesus tells us here, fasting is not for show. It's not supposed to be a performance. You know, really, even most of the time, people shouldn't even know that you're fasting. They shouldn't even know it. It's not something that you're trying to get people to know about you, okay? I want you to notice the second thing. And I think this is important. And again, not really here, but we just kind of read it there in Luke. But fasting is not for salvation. Fasting is not for salvation. You can fast all you want and still die and go to hell. Fasting has nothing to do with salvation. Again, in this passage of Luke chapter 19 that we just read, Jesus is not putting fasting down. He's not trying to put fasting down. He's just trying to show us that a work cannot save us. Because what was the Pharisee trusting in? All of his works. I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all that I possess and I do this and I do that and I do this. Look at all the things that I have done. And this man, this publican, simply would not even look up into heaven but just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, which man was justified? The man with all the works? No, the man that humbled himself in faith, put his faith in God. And so fasting is not for salvation. We don't do it as a way to be saved. Fasting does not make us more spiritual. It's not for those purposes, okay? And again, I think if we notice here, we'll see that fasting is something that is between me and God. It's not about me and anybody else. This is between me and God, right? Again, think about what he says here. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. So notice he says, don't even make it look like you're trying to fast. Look normal. Some of us, that's hard, okay? But look normal, all right? Just look normal is what he's saying, okay? He says, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What's he saying? This is between you and God. This is not an outward thing for everybody to be like, oh, wow, he's fasting. Wow, he must be super spiritual. wow, he's fasting, she's fasting, wow, look at them. No, this is between you and God, right? Same thing about the prayer. That, yeah, you can pray publicly. There's nothing wrong with public prayer, but he says when you have that personal time with God, you get alone in your closet, you get away from all distractions, and it's just you and God. He talks about that giving. We're not giving so that people can see. No, this is between me and God. I'm doing this because God wants me to do this. And the same thing with fasting. He said, this is between me and God. This has nothing to do with anybody else. Look over with me in the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, we're looking at several passages here because we do find fasting both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The book of Joel. The book of Joel, I'm starting to have a hard time finding the minor prophet books because we're doing the scripture snapshots and I'm putting those half sheets in where the minor prophets are and I can't flip through the pages as fast as I normally do. Joel chapter 1, notice what he says in verse number 14. He says, sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. This is between you and God. God said, this is a personal thing. Now again, there are times when there can be a public fast, okay? There are times when we'll see it, there is public fast where a nation will fast or a group of people will fast. And again, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to have a public fast or something where everybody's in agreement on something, right? It's not wrong with that. But God's talking about a personal, this is between me and God, okay? This is between me and God, or God and I, if you're a grammar person, right? Then I want you to notice this. It is not a religious ritual. Sometimes we think fasting is like some religious ritual that we have to do. Okay. And again, we're just trying to set some foundation here of what fasting is not, right? It's not a religious ritual. Again, the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 listed off all these religious rituals that he had done, right? Tithing and fasting and all these different things. And God says it didn't mean anything to him. It didn't mean anything to God that this man was doing it. And really, it didn't mean anything to this Pharisee that was doing it because all he was doing it was so he could be praised, so that he could be noticed, right? And so it's not just a religious ritual we do. And again, I know sometimes people will fast and really they don't even understand what they're doing. Well, they just told me to fast, so I'm not eating, okay? Why? Well, they just said fast. It's not just a religious ritual that we do and somehow thinking by doing this, somehow this is gonna make me more spiritual. It's gonna make me a better Christian because I fasted. That's not it, okay? This is between me and God. And here's the thing that I really want us to draw, you know, to understand this in this warning. Fasting is not acceptable to God without a right relationship with God. You can fast, again, all you want, even as a Christian, but if your relationship with God is not right, it doesn't mean anything to God, okay? Look back with me to the book of Jeremiah. I'm gonna look at two Old Testament passages here real quick. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 14, notice what he says in verse number 10. Jeremiah 14, 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. So God's talking to Israel. He's saying they've gone away. They're chasing other gods, but watch. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. So God doesn't accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, you know what that tells me? They were practicing fasting. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Wait a minute, I thought if I fasted, God has to hear me. God says, when they fast, I will not hear. Why? Because their heart wasn't right with God. They had wandered away from God. They were worshiping false gods. They were living their life the way they wanted to. They were filled with pride and doing everything they wanted and say, oh, but we're gonna perform the spiritual rituals, right? We're gonna do all the rituals, the religious rituals. So we're gonna fast, and notice, we're gonna offer burnt offerings. Wasn't that something they were commanded to do in the law? Yeah. So they were worshiping, right? Maybe if we could kind of fast forward a couple thousand years, maybe they were going to church. Maybe they were singing the songs. Maybe they were putting the offering in. Maybe they had a Bible. Maybe they were fasting. God says, I don't accept it. I don't accept it. And by the way, he wasn't just talking about the fasting. He was talking about everything they were doing, all the religious rituals they were doing. Why? Because he says, thus saith the Lord, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. God said they're into everything that God said not to be into. And God says, because they're not being obedient, I'm not gonna listen. I'm not gonna hear what they're saying. I'm not gonna honor what they're doing. Even though it was the things that God said to do. They were offering the sacrifices, they were fasting, but God says, I'm not gonna honor it because their heart was far from me. Look over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Notice in verse number 3. He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And think about what he's saying here. He's saying this, they've said, hey, we're gonna fast. We're gonna fast a day, right? Hey, Pharisee said I fast twice a day. We're gonna set aside a day and we're gonna fast and we're gonna put sackcloth and we're gonna do all these different things. But what does he say? Is this the fasting that I want? God says, is this the fasting that I desire? Look at verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Watch what he says. Here's the fasting that is honoring to God. Are you ready for this? Here's the fasting that God says. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? God says, you think this idea of fasting is all about, you know, you're setting it aside a day, and you're fasting, you're not eating, and you're putting on sackcloth, and oh, you look the part. He says, you know what I'd really like? How about you be kind to the poor? How about you do the things that I've commanded you to do? How about you, the oppressed, how about you have compassion on them? How about you show mercy? Again, going back to our example in Luke, here's a man that says, hey, I do 1, 2, 3, 4, I do all these different things. Was he showing compassion to the publican? Mercy? Kindness? No, he said, I thank you. I'm not like that guy over there, that wicked sinner, that publican. I'm not like him. Glad I'm not like him. Glad I'm not in his shoes. So God said, what's the point of fasting if our heart isn't right with God? It's nothing more than a religious ritual. That's it. That's all it is. And it means absolutely nothing to God. God said, that's not what I want. He said, how about you give some bread to the hungry? How about you bring the poor and bring them into your house? How about if you see someone that has a need, they're naked, you cover them? How about you do those things? Oh no, I gotta fast. God says, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for that. And let me just say this, and I think you're kind of getting it just by what we've seen already. Just because you fast and you pray doesn't mean that God will automatically answer your prayer. Sometimes we have this idea, well, if I fast and pray, then God has to do what I'm praying for. No, actually, he doesn't. He doesn't. Was he going to answer their prayers? No, because their heart wasn't right. By the way, even if your heart is right with God, it doesn't mean he's going to answer your prayer in fasting. If you go back to, you don't have to turn there, but if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 16, notice the Bible says, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. David, the man after God's own heart. Yeah, he messed up. We know that. But David repented. Child gets sick though. He goes in and he's fasting. He's not eating. He's fasting. He's praying. Did the child live? Child didn't live, did he? Child still died. So we've got to understand, just because we say, all right, I'm going to fast and pray about this issue, right? I'm going to fast and pray and, you know, whatever the thing might be. Understand, fasting is not just an automatic guarantee that God's going to do what we're asking. Sometimes we have this idea, well, if you fast, that means you're really serious. And so God's going to answer you. No, it doesn't. Now, I would say fasting is making you a little bit more serious than normal, but it doesn't just automatically mean that God's going to answer your prayer. It doesn't mean that God's going to do what you're asking him to do just automatically because you fasted. Okay? Now, you need to have the right heart about it. There's no doubt about that. That's what we're seeing here in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Matthew and Luke. We have to have the right heart about it. Okay? But it's not just an automatic guarantee. Well, I fasted and prayed. Why didn't God answer my prayer? I fasted and prayed. Why didn't God do it? It's not just an automatic thing, right? Now, let's look at the right way to fast. Notice he says here back in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 17 and 18. So now he's going to contrast wrong way of fasting with the right way to fast. And he gives us some pointers, right, on how to fast, which I would say, I would say Jesus could give us some pointers on fast. 40 days? No, I have never fasted for 40 days. I think he could give us some pointers on it, right? He's done it, okay? But notice what he says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So here's some things that he says about fasting. Notice, now, again, he's contrasting the warning with now what we are to do. So first thing he says, just maintain normal appearance. Look normal. Just look normal, okay? He says, anoint thy head, wash thy face. You're not making a show of it. You're not trying to draw attention to it. You don't need to look, you know, you're not trying to make yourself look spiritual by fasting. You know, you go out and you buy an extra large coat. You come in, boy, that coat, look, you losing weight? Yeah, I'm fasting. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves about this. That's what he's saying, okay? If you want to fast, that's fine. But it's so, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be critical or anything, but it's so interesting that so many times when people are fasting, they have to make sure everybody knows they're fasting. And again, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. I'm not trying to be mean, okay? Who cares? Your fasting has nothing to do with me. Your fasting has nothing to do with me. Now, unless we've agreed together as a group or something like that, and we're all gonna fast, okay, that's fine, I get it, all right? But if you're fasting, why do I need to know? Why? You know the only reason why you wanna say it? Because you want somebody to know. You want to be recognized that you're fasting. You're hoping that somebody will say, boy, you must be more spiritual. I mean, they're fasting. He says, don't let anybody know. Nobody has to know. Why? It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Did you go, when you went to work today, did you go and tell, you know, I prayed today. How many of you went to work, you went up to somebody, you know, I prayed today. Anybody do that? Why didn't you do that? Nobody cares. It's between you and God, right? You go and tell somebody, I prayed today. Okay. I mean, you're a Christian. Aren't you supposed to do that? Why are we telling it? Well, I just tell you, man, I was up all night, spent 8 hours praying. Good for you. What does that have to do with me? You understand what I'm saying? Again, I'm not saying if you want to stay up all night and pray, that's great. I'm not condemning that, right? But why are we having to vocalize it? Why are we having to make sure everybody knows what we're doing? Because we're doing it just like the Pharisees. We're doing it just like they were. We're wanting to make sure people know. And this is what he says, they have their reward. Because to them, it wasn't about their relationship with God, it was making sure everybody knew what they were doing. And so we've got to understand the right way to do it. So he says, just maintain a normal appearance. Don't make a show of it, right? And then notice, focus on the right audience. I've said this several times already. He says that thou appear not unto men, but unto thy Father. Thy Father. Again, fasting is not about impressing people or gaining admiration. That's not what fasting is about. It is seeking God and humbling ourselves before Him. That's what it is. Fasting is about seeking God. And we'll talk about some specific areas. We're gonna look at some, in the Bible, some specific times that people would fast in many different events, many different times, right? We're gonna look at these. But it's seeking God and humbling ourselves before Him, right? And that's why he says, even the issue about praying, he says, enter into thy closet and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The same thing, he talks about fasting here. Unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we've got to focus on the right audience. It ought to be between us and God. Now again, can there be public fast? Yes, absolutely, there's no doubt about it, right? Look in the book of Jonah, right? Again, just very quickly, book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, look in verse number 6. Jonah has come in, said that the city's gonna be overthrown, right? Look in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. So this is the people. This isn't an individual fast. This is, we could say, this is really a citywide fast. It's everybody in Nineveh, right? And put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even unto the least of them. For word came into the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robes from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. He says, we are going to fast as a people. We're going to fast as a city, as a people. We're going to fast. Everybody's going to fast. Why were they fasting though? Because they heard the message that Jonah was preaching, that there was gonna be judgment upon them. They recognized judgment was coming. So they're fasting, and notice verse number 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. He said, hey, we are wrong, we are wicked, we are sinners, we need to make this right, we need to repent, and we need to fast, and we need to pray, and we're gonna repent. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and their whole city, from the king all the way down. I mean, they were serious. Even they got the animals into the fasting. So I said, even beasts weren't even allowed to eat or drink, right? That means the animals were involved in this fasting, right? That's pretty serious when you get the animals too. But he says, hey, we're not gonna fast, because we understand what God has said and we believe what God has said is true. And this is what he says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now, did the king say, hey, if we'll fast and we'll pray, then we know that God will show mercy and he won't do this? No, he didn't know it. He said, who can tell if God will do this or not? But we're gonna do it anyway. And whether God spares us or not, we're gonna fast, we're gonna repent, we're gonna turn to God, we're gonna fast and pray, and if God does it, praise the Lord. And of course, what happens? Very next verse, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Whole people fasted, right? So again, there is the opportunity for people to fast together. I know, we don't do this every year, but I know a few years ago, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, before we were gonna have some special meetings, we encouraged the church to fast, right? Again, we were doing it corporately as a body. Didn't mean everybody had to do it every day. Obviously, I understand some people have health issues. They cannot fast, right? They have to have some type of food in their system every day because of health issues and things. We get that. I understand, right? But we did it as a church, right? We were praying that God would really work through those meetings, okay? So there are opportunities to do it, but specifically, he's talking about individual fasting here, right? So we've got to have the right audience. Then we're trusting in God's awareness. Thy Father, which is in secret, seeth. Thy Father, which is in secret, seeth. And this is so powerful because here's what God has been showing both in the giving and in the prayer and in the fasting. God sees what others don't. That's what he's showing us. We don't have to make it public because God sees what nobody else sees. God sees when you were kind to that person and you bought them a hamburger because they didn't have anything to eat. God sees when you went over and you mowed that neighbor's yard because there was nobody else to mow it and they couldn't afford to pay. God sees those things. And when nobody else sees it, God sees it. That's what he's saying. God sees what others don't see. And so we've got to understand, are we doing it for God or are we doing it so that people can see? Which one are we doing? Are we giving so that people see or are we giving so that God sees? Are we praying so that people see or are we praying so that God sees? Are we fasting so that people see or are we fasting so that God sees? Our Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Can I tell you something? God values what others overlook. God values what others overlook. When people don't see it, and we know people don't see it, and we don't have to brag and tell people that we did it, that's what God values. Because it's not done for people. It's done for him. It's done for God. And that's what God values. Nothing done for God is ever wasted. Nothing. And that's why Jesus said, even if you give somebody a cup of water in my name, I've seen it. Why? Because it was done for God. Not to be seen of men, but for God. And then we must believe in God's reward. He says, our Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, God rewards when there is sincerity. Again, we saw that in Jonah. There was sincerity. They were sincere about repenting, right? God rewarded them. God blessed them for it, okay? When there's humility, when we're willing to humble ourselves and come before God, he's willing to reward openly. Again, we don't always know how God's gonna reward. We don't know how God's gonna answer. And sometimes it may not be the way that we're even praying for God to answer. That's why it's so important that when we pray not according to our will, but we pray according to his will. And again, sometimes we can think, well, you know, I'm going to pray, but if I fast, then maybe God will make it according to my will. Well, then you're not fasting for the right purpose. Right? Now you're fasting for yourself so that you can get what you want out of it, right? That's not humility, okay? And so there's got to be the right purpose behind it. There's got to be the right reason. There's sincerity, there's humility, right? And we'll let God take care of how he's going to reward. We'll let God take care of that. Again, he sees it. He knows what's happening. He'll take care of us. I mean, didn't we just read in the previous verses about prayer that he knoweth what we have need of before we ask? He knows what we have need of before we even ask. I think he can take care of it in the way that he knows what is best. I look back on my life and I see there's been times when I've prayed for certain things and I thought at the time they were the right things. I thought at the time when I was praying for certain things that, man, that was right. And you know what? God didn't answer that prayer. Well, okay, let me take that back. God did answer that prayer. He said no. And by the way, no is an answer. Some people say, well, you got to keep praying until God says yes. God can say no. He's allowed to say no, right? Again, sometimes we think fasting is like twisting God's arm. Look, I'm fasting. You got to answer my prayer. No, God doesn't. God can say no. Why? Because he knows what's best. And I'm very thankful looking back in my life that there have been times that I've prayed for certain things that God said no. And at the time I was like, but God, I really think this is right. I really think this is the right thing. God said no. And looking back, and I can think, all right, Lord, thank you for saying no. Because I can see that wouldn't have been right. Now, looking back, I can see that, right? But at that time, I didn't know. I just thought it was the right thing because I can only see right now. I can't see tomorrow. I can't see next week. I can't see next month. I can't see next year, but God can. And that's why we have to trust his will because he knows what's best for us, not just today, but long-term down the road. God knows what's best. And there are going to be times when we don't understand why God says no. There's been times in my life where I didn't understand why God said no, right? I didn't. I remember, I've told you this before. After we started our church in Uganda and we started the radio station, we were ready to go to Rwanda. We had looked in a town, knew how we were gonna get in, knew where we were gonna live. We had it all already mapped out. We had it all figured out. And then God's like, nope. God, what are you doing? That's not right. I mean, it's, God said no. You know what? Now looking back, I'm thankful that God said no. Why? Because if I would have just kept going the way I wanted to, not listening to God, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be a First Baptist today. So we've got to be willing to trust God. That's where in praying, that's where faith and trusting God is saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I believe when we just looked at prayer, he talked about that, didn't he? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will be done, right? So he talks about fasting, making sure that we understand the purpose of it. And again, the reward may not always be public recognition. But it will when we fast, when we pray. I will say this, if it's done with sincerity, if it's done with humility, I do believe there is spiritual growth through fasting and prayer. Because you're learning a dependence upon God that you wouldn't have without fasting, right? So there's a dependence upon God. There's a deeper fellowship that we have with the Lord through that. Because again, as we're gonna see a little bit later on, again, we're basically saying, God, I'm setting aside the thing that my physical body needs the most, food. I'm going to set that aside, and I'm not going to eat because I'm going to spend this time with you. There's a deeper fellowship and a deeper relationship that we have with the Lord through that. And again, I understand some people cannot. They're physically, they've got health issues and things, and they cannot fast. They cannot do that. I get that. And I'm not saying that if you don't fast, that you cannot have a deep relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying that. Okay? Please understand me. Well, I can't fast, Pastor, so I guess I can't have a good relationship with God. I did not say that. You go out and say I said that, we're going to have some problem, all right? Because I did not say that. But when you, if you are able to and you do fast, you're going to find that that does draw you closer to the Lord because you're not depending on those things. You're just spending that time with the Lord and you're depending upon him more and more. And so there is a deeper fellowship. And there is, I believe, even when God says no, there is an eternal reward. There's an eternal reward for it. Because again, you say, well, God didn't answer my prayer and nobody knew. Good. Nobody should know. And God did answer your prayer. It may not have been the way that you wanted him to answer, but he did. He answered the way that he wanted it to be answered. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to depend upon him and look to him through these things? Okay. Again, prayer and fasting, again, so many times our prayer, and we talked about this the last 2 weeks, our prayer list can be more of a Christmas wish list. It's all about me. Here's my wish list, God, answer all my prayers. That's not what we find in the model prayer. And the same way in fasting, it's not just, all right, I'm fasting, get me what I want. Okay, I've done this, give it to me now. Look how spiritual I am. No, there's a reason behind it. And again, I think when you find and look, there's nothing specific that says you have to fast so many times. You know, again, we find Jesus fasting 40 days in the wilderness. You don't have to go out and say, well, Jesus fasted 40 days, I have to fast 40 days. No, there's nothing said that you have to fast 40 days, okay? And there's nothing said that you have to fast every year. There's no number put on it. But as we'll see, we'll get into this more probably next Wednesday, we'll see some of these times that we'll see people fasting in Scripture, right? There's specific times that we find people fasting, okay? Certain things are going on in their life. They're looking for wisdom or needing something answered or protection or something. We'll see these next week as we go through. But please understand, again, think about these verses here. It's not about what other people can see. This is about my relationship with the Lord. And if the Lord leads you to fast, great. Praise God for that, right? But you don't have to, hey, I've been fasting for 10 days, you know. Boy, I wish I could eat that ice cream that you're eating, but I can't because I'm fasting. Well, now we're not even doing it for the right reason. Now we're doing it so that people can be seen or that people can see what I'm doing. So there's got to be a right reason, right? And that's why he brings these out. So he gives these warnings, and then he shows us the right way to do it. And then next week, we'll look at when we should and the importance of fasting and things. So we'll talk a little bit more about this next week and continue studying on this topic of fasting, right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, just giving us instruction on how we are to live our lives. And so I pray that you would just bless, Lord, as we learn of this. Help us to really grasp what you have in it in Scripture, in this area of fasting and praying. And Lord, help us as we worship you in our daily life, not just when we come to church, but in our daily lives in the area of giving alms and helping other people and praying and fasting. Lord, may we truly do it for the right reason, our relationship with you. It's not about what others see, but Lord, about what you see. Doesn't matter what anybody else sees, what anybody else knows. Lord, if we're doing it for you, we know that you know, and we know you'll never forget it. So Father, help us as we learn these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.